She's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
911, what's up? Is there an emergency?
Okay, now I have a problem. Like, I'm not sure whether or not you've heard this conversation already, but
essentially, I was there to bear witness, both for myself and for the many.
My family's doing pretty good. Yes, they are.
You want to tell the last couple of days? I know it's been.
I feel like another of my childhood icons has just dropped off.
I admit it, I'm a pervert. I came here to take pictures of your daughter.
Cat urine!
Yeah! Across the fruited plain.
Anyway, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
What's that?
It's country music, man. Every now and again, I just got to get a little country going. You know, there's too much. It's too much minority news, and I'm not racist, but I've always got to get back to, you know.
What's that about? You're talking about that?
I just, you know, there's too many of you guys, you know, you and Robert, you with your metal plate, Robert with his black skin, and Michael Jack. Let me just get white for a second, do you mind?
Wow, you'll be fired and everything.
That's right, that's me. I'm kidding around, guys. Anyway, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, you know, I love it. People say, black people like country music, too. Ain't you heard Charlie Pride? Yeah, that was about six centuries ago. Anybody lately? That's a job for you, bud. Find me a black country singer.
Charlie Pride.
Other than him. 877-876-PHIL. Cowboy Troy. What is that supposed to be?
Yeah, Cowboy Troy hung out with Blackzilla.
Get out of here, Darius Rucker. Hootie and the Blowfish ain't country. I'm not sure what it is, although there's a tip-off with their name, as in blow. Anyway, they're fine. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where every night we give you the news, talk, and entertainment that, you know, knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and that means that it doesn't matter what color your ideology, your skin, your pants, your jock strap. We don't care. We're just here to try to get at the truth. And we figured, well, that's as good a bullcrap line as any. I mean, it's why can't I say that? I could say I'm a conservative, but everybody else is doing that. I could say I'm a liberal, but that ain't nothing wrong with that. But you can see Rachel is not doing good. And anyway, or I can say truth is my bitch and maybe roll the dice with that one. Oregon man upset by McDonald's order calls, are you ready for this? 911. Are you cats kidding or what, man? First of all, I recognize that this is not an upswing necessarily in evidence of idiots. I think that we've always had idiots, but because of the internet and because of our ability to communicate more rapidly, we're finding out more about them. You know, it's like we had a whole subculture of jackballs. Now, because of our ability to communicate, see, everybody's house is a newsroom. Your home, wherever you have your computer, that is like you have your own news bureau. You can pull news, you can pull audio, you can pull video, and you can create the exact newscast that you want in your house. Here, I want a little bit of this, and I want a little bit of that. I want to hear this audio, I want to hear that audio, I want to watch this. And with millions of brand spanking new news bureaus all over America in bedrooms and garages and mom's basement and all those other places, there's a lot of information. And so we're finding out that the 911 system that we have is being used by some cats that really, I don't know whether it's Down syndrome, thalidomide or alcohol syndrome, but some of these people still don't get it. Now here in Clackamas, Oregon, a man upset at the way McDonald's employees handled his stinking order was charged after allegedly calling. He called 911, man. I can go into our archives and find hundreds and hundreds of examples of this. Only this time, the operator, there was a difference. This time, the operators on the other end, they ain't playing with this guy at all. His name is Jeremy Lloyd Martin. He calls 911 over a botched McDonald's order. But this time, the operator ain't there, and the operator's not going to sit there and listen to his horse dung.
911, what's up? Is there an emergency?
Okay, now, I have a problem. Like, I'm not sure whether or not you've heard this conversation already, but seriously, I pulled into McDonald's. I pulled in to get my order.
Yeah.
Okay. Get my order and everything, seriously. The lady who didn't, you know, who took my order, she didn't get my order right.
So are you calling 911 because you didn't get your order right at McDonald's?
I'm dead serious.
Okay, stop. Listen, 911 is for life or death emergencies only. By you calling 911, you can be arrested for... Sir, listen to me. You can be arrested for misuse of 911. Listen to me. Okay, I will send you an officer, but you're going to go to... You want to go to jail?
Okay, send a cop. I have no...
There's an officer on the way there. Listen to me. 911 is for life and death emergencies.
Now, listen, it just fades out. These two guys going back and forth, which at that point, it becomes sort of an exchange of egos. The operator could have made his statement and then just hung up on the guy, but it wouldn't matter. I mean, the guy did call back.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
I'm on...
disguising his voice now.
Sunnyside Road.
Okay, what's going on there?
I was at a McDonald's. I paid $10, and these guys gave me one burger and a fry and told me to pull around.
Okay, sir, this is not a 911 emergency. Let me get you to... And, sir, this is nothing the police are going to get involved in. You need to take it up with the manager of the McDonald's.
I'm sitting outside right now.
Sir, this is not a police matter. You need to take it up with the manager of the McDonald's. I'm going to disconnect.
I got robbed for my money.
Sir, you did not get robbed. I'm going to disconnect with you now.
How about a third call?
911, what's the location of your emergency?
Yes,
My name is Sunnyside Road in 82nd.
What's going on there?
I was at McDonald's. I gave these guys $10. They gave me one burger and a fry and told me to park.
Sir, I believe you just talked to my partner a moment ago, and he advised you this is not a 911 emergency.
This is a 911 emergency. I got robbed for $8.
Okay, sir, 911 is life and death only. If you do continue calling 911, you will be arrested for misuse.
Well, arrest me at 82nd and Sunnyside Road. Please send a cop right now.
Now, there is something here. The guy could have said on the first call, I've been robbed. I've been robbed. Yes, sir. Yes, I've been robbed. Where, sir? At McDonald's. They robbed me. I've been robbed. All right, sir, who robbed you? The manager of the store just robbed me. You know, maybe you could do that. Maybe you could do that. And when the cop gets out there, now when they say life and death emergency, is a robbery a life and death emergency? If you called 911 and said that you were robbed standing there at an ATM machine and you took out $100 and a cat put a gun in your ribs and robbed you, and the guy's gone now and you call 911, I've been robbed. How much? I don't know if they ask you how much. But you were robbed. But you're not in any life and death threat. See, I'm just trying to see this guy's side of it. But it's a complete, you know, I recognize that the guy's he's a blithering nincompoop. And the fact the guy's arguing shows the intelligence level. Now, I'm sure he had a bad day. I'm sure he thought, and I'm talking to the, you know, maybe this cat's got a problem with, you know, white authority. Maybe he thought he was talking to a white guy, and this is it. This is the last. I'm not listening to you guys anymore. I want someone here. I want a cop here. I'm getting my $8 back. I've had a tough day. I want my food. But it just ain't for that, man. Then he calls back with,
yes, I...
Did you call before?
No, not at all.
That's his second mistake. 911 emergency.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't matter, though. So what happened? This clown got arrested. He got arrested. You know, a cop arrived after a person who identified himself as Mr. Martin, Jeremy Lloyd Martin, had called 911 again. McDonald's employee, who had also called 911, to report that three guys were screaming at her and trying to fight. The dispatcher told her to keep the doors locked, blah, 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 blah. Martin said he has worked on the other side of the drive-through window as an assistant manager at a competing fast food restaurant. He's called 911 over disputes involving customers, but he's never been arrested. He said, I'm going to jail for $10. That's ridiculous. No, you're going to jail, man, because you jammed up the emergency services line of that particular area. That's why you're going to jail. But as these come in, man, we will lay them on you. They're beautiful. Oh, yeah. Michael Jackson's mother gets temporary guardianship of the three kids. We'll talk about that when we get back. We got your phone calls coming up. And also at the bottom of the hour, we have a journalist from Iran who is in Iran right now and will be speaking to us as to what's happening there. You know, the way that thing is coming down now, they are bringing the fist down on those people. And the message is this. You may have a problem. Everybody got problems, but no way are you fomenting. You're not turning over the sacred, groovy-ass Supreme Ayatollah's ass. That ain't going to happen. 877-876-PHIL. We've had Craig of the Canadian Mental Health Association talking about this guy, Lee.
Mr. Lee is also a victim here, as was suggested during the court proceedings. And what's going to happen to Mr. Lee is not going to be a cakewalk. He's going to have to go to a locked a psychiatric facility and undergo a stringent and rigorous assessment and ongoing treatment to see if he's at harm to himself or to society.
Now, I want to ask you a question. Isn't that torture? Isn't it torture? I mean, it may not be that we want to torture the guy. This may be a whole new classification of torture called unintentional torture. Keeping a man alive so that you can probe and prod and look into his brain and find out what makes him tick and an ongoing process to see if he's a danger to society. I think we probably got that one figured out because he cut a man's head off and, oh, yeah, also started to eat parts of the man's body. So I think we can determine that he's a threat to society. Now, the ongoing evaluation of this guy will be to see if he continues to be a threat to society. Now, one of these days, it's possible, and I'm just letting you guys in Canada know this, because we deal with this in the States all the time. One of these days, it's possible a court will rule he's sane, he's fine, he may leave. Aha! Now that's when you find all the neighbors coming out with lit torches and pitchforks, wanting to know where the guy lives so that they can just go ahead and burn him alive in his house. You don't think for a second that what you're doing is going to help this man. You're not going to cure him. You're not going to cure him because if you cure him, that means that he needs to be let out. And if he's let out, he won't stay alive for 3 days. So what do you think you're doing? Well, what you're doing is you're making yourselves feel better. That's what you're doing. You're not taking, quote, a man's life because then, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't be invited to the right cocktail parties. Maybe you wouldn't be invited to the right ball games. Maybe some of your friends wouldn't call you anymore. So you make yourself feel better by saying that this guy belongs in an institution. He's a schizophrenic. I understand. It is very rare. In fact, it's almost unheard of that schizophrenics, people who suffer from that terrible disease, act out in this manner. Very rare. So there's something else going on with this guy. I hate to break the news, and I'm not a psychiatrist. But if you think for 1 second that anybody is conned into believing that you're going to put this man in a mental institution and you're going to evaluate and determine whether or not he is a danger to society, which leaves open the possibility that someday you will determine that he is not a danger to society, you have no idea what it is you're doing. You don't have any idea what you're letting yourselves in for. I'd like to ask you in Canada how many psychos you've got in your nut bins up there, how many of them have been let out, and I'm talking about a guy that cut somebody's head off and ate his body. I'm not talking about some dude that, ran his wife over with a car or something in the heat of passion when he saw her walking out of a motel with Hulk Hogan or something.
Phil Henry. World famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, tomorrow night we're going to start our webcasting, video webcasting of the show. Go over to www.philhenryshow.com and check it out, man. Get your backstage pass. The show will be webcast live every single night. And it'll be available for on-demand viewing, which means you can go to the website anytime you'd like to watch our video webcasts. Available right now on the website is live internet streaming. You can hear the show right now at www.philhenryshow.com on our website. It will be available for download next Tuesday. So there is that's the whole thing, you know?
Here, let me write that down. Now, tomorrow...
You know what it is, man.
Yeah, but I want to tell my aunt, because she want to watch a video cab. That means she don't have to look at that Pat Sajak and everything else, you know.
I talked to your aunt. She knows what it is.
She does?
Yeah, don't worry about it. What do you mean she doesn't want to look at Pat Sajak?
She's all tired of that stuff, man. She want to look, and she don't know the difference between Pat Sajak and Greg Kinnear. No how. You know.
What do you mean she doesn't know the difference? What do you mean Greg Kinnear?
She's watching that movie, We Were Soldier, and Greg Kinnear and the one he played that pervert. She thought she saw Pat Sajak.
Your aunt was looking at We Were Soldiers, and what was it?
The one with a pervert.
Yeah, the one about Bob Hogan.
You mean Bob Crane?
Yeah.
And she thought she was looking at who, Pat Sajak?
Yeah, that ain't Pat Sajak, either.
No, that's Greg Kinnear. Oh, boy, man.
Well, I don't know. That's what she saw. She told me. I wrote it down. Told me to write it down and talk to you about it. Sit here. I don't know. Is that Pat Sajak? in the one about Bob Hogan.
It ain't Bob Hogan. It's Bob Crane.
That's what I told him.
You just said Bob Hogan. And the name is Greg Kinnear. He's the actor.
Well, how come she did? No, he ain't.
Yes, he is. He used to be on Talk Soup, and now he's the actor. I'll talk to her. Don't worry about it. Now, listen to this, folks. This is an interesting thing. You guys are really screwy, man. You know, half of the stuff that confuses you cats, a third grader would get Bob Hogan.
I don't know.
Now, this happened on Glenn Beck's show, I don't know when, I guess yesterday. And he said something that was pretty dumb. Now, I listened to this, and when I say dumb, understand. When you're really, really kind of charging through a monologue, or you're charging through anything on your radio show or your TV show where you're essentially working off of some bullet points, but you're ad-libbing, you know. And I don't know exactly how it works on Glenn's show on television, but when you're interviewing somebody, for instance, and you don't have a teleprompter to prompt you to the next point, you're racing to get to a break, you may misspeak, and you may say things that don't exactly add up. It happens, just like, I don't know, in any given show, I'll say something like, and in the 1930s, you know, President Eisenhower, that kind of a thing. Now, I know we knocked Biden for it because Biden is in an interview, and it's a very, very nice, methodical, slow interview. Nobody is going to make the mistake that Eisenhower went on TV in the 30s and told people about the Depression. That's ridiculous. Now, on Glenn's show, he was talking to somebody, I don't know who, about something, I don't know what, and it probably wasn't all that interesting. And he was talking about, you know, Donald Trump made a statement that the oil cartel is making fun of us. He was on Fox and Friends. Okay, he was on Fox and Friends. Dig this. Did anybody correct him on this show? I don't think so. And why? Because of the three on Fox and Friends, Ducey, Carlson, and Kilmeade, the only one who's got any IQ that's remotely close to intelligent is Kilmeade. The other two are idiots. And Glenn is a great guy. But he ain't too bright either, if truth be told, folks. Glenn is, he's a marvelous guy, but all he wants to do is make a bunch of money. He's not like ideological the way Hannity and Limbaugh is, or are. Glenn, when it comes to politics, is not all that bright, but he's a cat that wants to make, and he's a great entertainer, and that's what it's about. That's what it's about, to be an entertainer. See? So, and he shows that he's capable of doing that. But here's what he said about Alaska.
You know, Donald Trump, I want to talk to this guy. When he was on the show just a few minutes ago, I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, you're exactly right. How can you not be laughing at us? How can the world not be? We have all of these resources. Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s? Yeah. We bought Alaska for the resources. And then we say no.
Now, dig this. He's on with two other people. Now, I listened to that because I thought, well, the guy's racing. He's on, you know, and they're talking, why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s? But then I thought, no, even an idiot, even a complete idiot. And I guess that's what I'm calling Glenn. So maybe he's less than an idiot. Even an idiot knows that we didn't buy Alaska in the 1950s. It became a state in the 1950s. See?
Everybody knows Alaska came in a gold rush.
Will you shut up, man? No, it didn't. I mean, when we were kids, we knew that Seward, who was the Secretary of State of Abraham Lincoln, he purchased Alaska on behalf of the United States for $7 million. Well, and then I thought, well, you know, that's you, Phil. You're a history freak. Maybe you were a weird kid and you remembered all that stuff. But we do know that Alaska became a state in the 50s. And beyond that, if you're a cat that's on the air and you're trying to present yourself as somebody who is clued in and, like, you know, really has got the bully pulp and all that bull. You know, it's all bull crap, but there's some, like I said, there's some cats that really actually know what they're talking about. And Glenn puts off the appearances if he knows what he's talking about. But, you know, wow. So anyway, he said that Alaska was bought in the 50s. No, it was bought in the 1860s. It became a state in 1959. See, I'm stripped up there, but I corrected myself. And besides, I don't have Gretchen Carlson sitting here to distract me. Maybe that's what happened, you know?
Yeah, if you just take a look at what she's got.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, yeah, but okay, so he was distracted by Gretchen Carlson, bought Alaska in the 1950s for the resources. Now he's talking about oil. Yes, it was purchased by Seward for its resources, but damn sure I don't know whether he knew there was oil up there, and it certainly wasn't a concern in the 1860s the way it is here in the 21st century, in the 20th century. But be that as it may, this was something that was online and he made the statement. Now, the good news for Glenn is that it ain't going to hurt him, you know. The bad news is this. Like, what I say about a lot of guys, I'm not singling Glenn out. Most of these guys are not very bright, honest to God. They are on the air because they know what to say that'll get them an audience. And Glenn is one of these cats that takes a little bit of this. He's taken a little bit of Limbaugh. He takes a little bit of Hannity. Back when he was working with me at Premier Radio, he took a whole bunch of what I did. He puts it all together. He's on television. He's got a very creative way on television. He brings a radio personality's creativity to TV, which is what TV can use. But when it comes to actually being a commentator, he's about two steps below maybe Wally George. You know, this guy is just...
Oh, are you kidding? You think he's dumber than that?
All right, he ain't as dumb as Wally George, but he's dumb, man. I mean, and buying Alaska in the 50s, I mean, the only thing that ever got bought in the 1950s was we bought a whole bunch of interstate, man, but it didn't run through Alaska, I can tell you that.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, 877-876-Phil here on a world famous Phil Hendry show. Speaking of Glenn, though, and you know Alaska was bought in the '50s. Fox News is on track to have its most watched year ever, showing significant ratings growth despite having just come off a high flying election year. And this is really significant because Fox is an extremely populist news channel. They use news as the fuel for what they do. They're a personality driven channel. Now, you know what I mean by that? CNN is not. CNN is driven by news. Fox is driven by personalities. Hence, Fox has better ratings. Now, I don't even know whether Fox knows this or not. I'm sure they do. They do enough research to know that it's really, really important who they have on the air. Now, that may seem like a no-brainer to a lot of you guys that are listening to the show, but CNN doesn't understand that. I think CNN has decided that they want to be what they're going to be, which is a news channel. I don't think that CNN believes that they're going to ever have the ratings that Fox has got because they're simply not going after the audience, the size of audience. It's evident to me that they've decided to, you know, to sort of depart the field and let Fox declare victory because what they do is very, very news intensive. And that's to their credit. And I will say one more thing. The reason why Fox, CNN gets knocked a lot, people say they're too liberal. No, they're too traditional. But I think they know it. I think that's what they want to be. I think they've decided that whatever it is that Fox is doing, they don't want to be that. They're going to be a news channel. They're going to deliver news. And the people that are on the air will be secondary to that. If you look at who's on the air on CNN, they don't hold a candle to the people that are on the air on Fox in terms of presence. Now, I'm not talking about anything else, just presence. I don't mean intelligence. I don't mean ability to turn a phrase. I'm not saying that they're, that the guys on Fox, like it's Edward R. Murrow versus, whoever, Jay Leno. I'm just saying that Fox understands that personalities, like a radio station, in fact, that's what pulls the audience. So the people they have on the air are what draw the viewer. The news at CNN is what draws the viewer. Nobody watches CNN to say, oh, Campbell Brown's coming on. Campbell Brown, as we said and predicted, her numbers are in the tank. Larry King couldn't possibly have any kind of ratings. And you can go down the list. The people that are on the air there that they try to present as a personality, they suck. Okay? But as a news-gathering and news-delivering network, they're pretty good. In fact, they kicked the crap out of Fox during the entire Iran resistance following the elections over in Iran. I mean, they just beat Fox hands down. However, that's not when events like that happen, it's few and far between, and so you got to rely upon something else. And so Fox is doing it, man. And look at this. Fox is on track to have its most watched year ever, showing significant rating. What do you mean?
You got a phone call.
I know I got a phone call. I'll get to the phone call in a minute, okay?
Yeah, but this guy wants to talk about the second.
Let me do it, will you? Who is this?
Oh, hi, Phyllis. Dean Wheeler. I didn't mean to interrupt the program, but I wanted to comment on Sarah Palin. And I thought you were taking phone calls on that.
I'm not taking any phone calls on Sarah Palin.
Well, the man who answered the phone call said that you were. And actually what he said was he wanted me to get on the air just so you'd get off of this topic. topic.
Hold on for a minute. Will you turn on that?
I just thought it was a little more interesting.
I'll be with you in a minute, okay?
Sure.
So anyway, all right, forget it. What do you want to talk about?
Are you done?
I'm done, yes, I'm done. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, well, my son came in the house tonight, and he said the news was on, and he saw Sarah Palin, and he said, oh, Dad, isn't she hot or slamming or however the young people put it? And I thought about that, and I was scratching my head. I don't understand, Phil, why people think Sarah Palin is all that good-looking. I don't think she is. I've always felt that people like Barbara Boxer are equally as good-looking.
Boxer?
Yes, Barbara Boxer is equally as good-looking as Sarah Palin. You don't agree with that?
No, I'm afraid I don't even think Sarah Palin's all that hot, but that makes me weird, you know.
Well, I can understand you're not thinking Sarah Palin is hot, but Barbara Boxer. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, the United States Senator from California.
I'm not talking about Pelosi, because I know that a lot of people think that they're hot.
No, I'm not talking about her. No, man. I know who you're talking about.
You understand that I'm talking about Barbara Boxer, B-O-X-E-R. She's the senator
from California, yes. No, I don't think she's hot, man, and I don't think that Sarah Palin is hot.
No, I know that Sarah Palin isn't hot. The question that I had was the following. Don't you think that Barbara Boxer...
No, I don't think Barbara Boxer is hot. How could you think that? How old are you?
How old am I? I'm 38.
I don't understand. Why are we having this discussion? Because your son came in and saw a panel on TV?
Because there seems to be a misunderstanding that Sarah Palin, and I think it's a misunderstanding, I understand that perhaps some people, but I don't know why they think Sarah Palin's hot. Her husband, I don't know what he thinks of her.
Well, I'm sure he thinks she's hot.
Well, I don't know that. I know that that they have children, and I think that that's good, and I think that that is something that, obviously, keeps them alive and lively. I don't know what keeps you turned on to a woman like Sarah Palin, but when I heard that, I simply said to my son, have you ever seen Barbara Boxer? And he said, no.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, your taste is your taste, my taste is my taste, Phil. So I said, come on with me, and I let him into my office, and I had some pictures of her that I had photoshopped, but I didn't photoshop them in any way that would be misrepresentative. What I did is I took a pencil, and I drew the pencil around the outline of her figure.
All right, I don't know that I want to talk about this. I don't know that I want. How old was your son?
19. He's of age.
So you got pictures of Barbara Boxer, and you did what?
I photoshopped them by outlining her body in clothes with a pencil, and then took a naked body of a woman and scotch taped it on there. And I said, now get a load of that. And he said, okay, now you're talking. So when you talk about Sarah Palin, and
I want to be clear about something here, man, because I think you got to be kidding me.
About what?
About taking Barbara Boxer's head, basically, cutting it off and scotch taping it over a nude female body.
Of the same type. Of the same type. I didn't take Paris Hilton or her body. I took Barbara Boxer's head and put it on a nude woman who was the same weight and girth. The same basic width. And I said, what do you think of that? And my son went, okay, give the man a cigar. I'm a believer. So this is what happens, I think, when our society...
I don't think that that's representative of all. I can't even believe you got a son that bought that.
Well, my son is as discerning as any man.
No, but the fact that you would take a nude body that you think is sort of the type of Barbara Boxer's and scotch... Did you say scotch tape it?
No, I guess it was that glue, Elmer's glue. I glued it to cardboard. Now, I've got several of these in my office. I've got one of Barbara Boxer. I have one of Nancy Pelosi. All of the ones that you would think, and also Michelle Bachmann. And I've determined that Michelle Bachmann is red hot. The body that I Elmer glued. What I mean is I put the head and...
I know what you're doing, man. You're taking the head, but that's not representative of anything.
Oh, yes, it is, because I'm using the same body size. The mistake they made, like with Oprah, is they took her head, which is much bigger than... any head I guess, you know, a normal woman would have, and they put it on a skinny body. They should have taken her head, which has a fatness. I guess that's not the term that you would use, but it has a wit.
Oh, look, at, sir, what you're talking about is playing games the way kindergartners play games. You're taking a head, you know, and you're...
No, no, no. What I tried putting Debbie, for instance, Debbie Stabenow, who is not that great. I'm sure you'd agree.
I don't know who she is.
Well, all right. I took Debbie Stabenow's head, and I took the body of I forget the porn actress, and I'd have to ask my wife.
What do you mean, ask your wife? Is she in on this?
I don't do it. I know who it was. It was Renee LaRue. And I scotch-taped Debbie Stabenow's head over Renee LaRue's body. It didn't work. Why? Because Debbie Stabenow's head is fatter than the neck. And I don't mean fat. But do you understand what I'm getting at here? Because I don't think you're really understanding. This is not sexual. This is trying to educate a young man as to what is beautiful. It isn't just what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside.
Look at, sir, you may be trying to educate your son as to what's beautiful. Are you telling me that if you take Barbara Boxer's head and then you Elmer glue the nude body of some other woman under it, that that's somehow getting that kid to appreciate her?
Yes, because I'm using the same body type. And still, but a hot... In Barbara Boxer's case, it would be a fatter woman. Not a fatter one, but it would be big. But it would be big and hot. I know I'm not explaining myself very well.
I don't buy it.
What, you don't buy it because you don't think I did it?
No, you probably did do it. But to me, it sounds like you're playing kindergartner games. You cut a head off, you Elmer glue it to some cardboard, you Elmer glue a body to the cardboard, and that's something that little tiny kids do.
No, they're not trying to get to the end. Ironically, if I can explain, I put Dianne Feinstein's head, for instance. I'll give an example of what I'm talking about. I took Dianne Feinstein's head on a black woman's body. And do you want to know something that it worked? So these are the things. These are the ways that you get a young man to appreciate the intelligence of a woman.
I don't. You know what? I'm not buying it.
You're not using your imagination.
No, you're just. And the thing with Feinstein's body, a head on a black body.
No, her body was her body. I put on someone else's head. I was fooling around. I put her body on Harry Reid just for fun. But that was the joke, and my son understood that. But the big.
You put her body on Harry Reid
as a joke. But the larger issue here is, why does Feinstein's head look good on the body of, was it Vanessa Del Rio? And she's very old and large. Because
on Vanessa Del Rio, huh? Sir, you haven't convinced me yet that this helped your son appreciate anything other than have a couple of laughs. And if you two guys looked at that and said, oh, now I've got a great appreciation, is that what he said?
He said he understood what I meant by Barbara Boxer being hot and smart, yeah.
Because you Elmer glued her head.
No, I didn't. I Elmer glued the body.
You Elmer glued some other woman's body, nude, onto her head.
Yes.
On cardboard.
On cardboard. And I cut them out, and I have a number of them around my office. And when you come into my office, you'll see that this is not the office of a porn producer. This is not the office of of someone who collects dirty magazines, finds them on railroad tracks, and dries them out on clotheslines and looks at them. No, I am a man who is an educator, but I have these cardboard cutout nude bodies.
With these women's head, you know what? I bet you if the cops ever come into your office, you'll be arrested.
For what?
For, I think they'll just think you're some kind of a serial killer or something.
Yeah, that goes beyond. I would agree that if you put a black woman's head on Dianne Feinstein, that they, you know... Well, not that, but...
You didn't even hear what the guy was talking about. I walk into that cat's office, and he's got cardboard cutout bodies of nude women with Dianne Feinstein and Debbie Stabenow's head on them. I call the cops. Do not pass go. Don't collect $200. Just call the police, as far as I'm concerned. All right, coming up, the L.A. Unified School District. Speaking of porn, Borat or Bono, or who, what is he today? Bruno. Bruno went out to a high school in Los Angeles in his hot pants and his adult male gay character and was posing with the minor children, even though they're football players and they look like they're adults. They're underage, and I think this is what they got the L.A. Unified School District chief upset, although everybody thinks he's some kind of a weird ass. What a freaking world we live in, you know? We'll talk about it when we come back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
A-ho.
Ooh. Oh.
Phil Hendry.
All right, our number is 877-876. Phil, if you want to, if you want to what, man? That last cat, that's enough to drive away phone callers from here until the day I drop that whole thing.
I bet the man's points were valid, except on account of a couple of things.
Like what, man?
Well, I mean, Dianne Feinstein's hit on a black woman.
Did you hear what that guy said? He cuts out Dianne Feinstein's head, sticks it on the body of a black woman, and it oddly works. And he's doing that by gluing these onto cardboard, cutting them out, and showing them to his son so his son will appreciate women more.
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand about.
What?
Well, how's that going to make you appreciate a woman more just on account of she's cardboard?
No, it's not that she's cardboard.
Well, you think you're going to explain this to him? You're not going to explain it to him. Nobody can explain it. The guy's nuts. He's nuts. Do you understand? That's some kind of a weird ass. That cat just doesn't dig it because Sarah Palin, everybody thinks she's hot. You know what? I hate to break the news to you guys. No, she ain't. I'm sure she's a fine woman. Her husband loves her, and that's all that counts, right? But in the overall, you know what I mean? Some of these guys are just think she's hot because she's a politician, you know, she's a governor. And the last time a governor looked like that good, is like never, you know. So she comes along, she's the governor of Alaska, and I don't know, she wears jeans and her hair's piled up on her head. I don't get, there was that one picture of her in a bathing suit, so they think she's smoking freaking hot? Not. A photo shoot involving comedian Sacha Baron Cohen and a group of San Fernando Valley High School students has the head of the LAUSD fuming. That's the Los Angeles Unified School District. The shoot, which appears in a cover story in the July issue of GQ magazine, features Cohen in character as gay Austrian fashionista Bruno, wearing shoulder pads, tight red shorts, an athletic cup, and little else as he poses with the football players. And in one shot, the star is lying on top of a player he has evidently just tackled. There's another shot of him with his hands under the rear end of the center, ready to take the snap. Now, there was a conversation about this, and I got to tell you, I kind of agree. I don't kind of. I think I do agree with Ramon Cortinas. He's the superintendent of the L.A. County School District. And he's talking here, I think, with Sam Rubin of Los Angeles television station KTLA. And the cats at KTLA don't get it. They think he's being prudish because they believe, oh, it's Bruno, isn't this marvelous? But there's a point that this man's trying to make, and that is these are minor kids still. They are high school students. They are underage. Now, the parents signed whatever the hell you call it, permission slips. So they said the kids could do it. And the principal, Marcia Coates, she also signed off on it, as did the athletic director, Rick Prezant, at Birmingham High School in Los Angeles. All of the administrators that were key to the decision said, yes, you may do this. The parents said, yes, the kids may do this. So the Unified School District head, Ramon Cortinas, is, I suppose, just voicing an opinion, and maybe he's alone and nobody else feels this way, I agree with him, that he felt that it was... And he didn't articulate it very well. When you hear this guy's reasons, I think he misses the point. He says he calls it softcore porn, and he says that there's sexual, titillation going on, and maybe for him. You know, I don't mean to say anything, Mr. Well, here he is.
Supervisor, why is this so bothersome to you? Why does it disturb you so much?
Well, I don't believe that... that there is a place on any high school campus in America, including LA, for soft porn.
Shut up.
Superintendent, you use words that I think are kind of, you know, you're just throwing them out there and maybe for shock value and that kind of stuff, but I'm not
throwing them out there.
Well, I don't see where you get the word soft porn. It is not
soft
porn.
Well, if you look at the cover of this magazine, to some parents it is, and they've communicated that to me. If you look at the cover of this magazine and then you look at the inside of the magazine, there are people that think that it is sexually provocative.
Well, okay. He's really not winning himself any friends over there at Channel 5. I mean, the cats at Channel 5, I don't think get it. Now, I know that I'm not, you know, saying those people are not parents. I'm sure they're parents. I understand both sides, but I agree with the superintendent there.
Yeah, but he sounds a little like, you know, he wants to have some.
Oh, will you shut up, man?
Well, he does.
Don't make any the point here is this. You're dealing, and we've always said this on this show, and this is really important. There's nothing wrong with sex. There's nothing wrong with youthful sex. But if it goes under the age of 18, what are we talking about anymore? I mean, what is our purpose here? Do we even have a right to call ourselves adults if we put minor children into any kind of an ad or photograph where there is a sexualization of the image? Bruno's funny. It's cool. Everything's good. But he's a sexual character, gay though he may be, straight though he might be. When you've got young people being used as props, isn't that a problem, or am I just being weird here, you know? Can't we cut it off at 18, man?
What?
The pictures.
I thought you'd talk about a bris.
A bris. I'm talking about the pictures. Or if nobody agrees, fine. Then we'll just head right on to the abyss. Yes, the end of time. All right, still more to come here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as Hardee's and Burger King put out sex ads, too.
Phil Hendry.
Can well imagine what those look like.